Let us pray. We wait on you, O God, to call to us in the midst of our lives. So often we walk in a waking slumber, oblivious to the wonders of your creation, deaf to your call to follow, blind to your hand extended to us. Shake us. Wake us. Speak to and through us that we might carry the joy of your word to a world that needs so much to hear it. May this story of Samuel inspire and empower us to follow you more closely wherever the path may go. We ask this and all things in the strong name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard to know when God is speaking. Most of the time when God says something, it's not even words that are offered. More often, it's a push or a pull, a feeling that where we are in life is either supremely right and we're washed in a warmth, or supremely wrong and we feel a sense of absence. It's not that God isn't there, just that we are being pulled in a different direction. The light, the warmth, is pointing a different way. But sometimes it's more than a feeling. Sometimes God is so insistent on getting our attention that only words will do. The problem is we aren't clear that it's God who's doing the speaking. Often we're crowded by so many things that vie for our attention that we confuse God speaking to us as someone or something else. This can cause us to dive into work and maybe neglect our friends and family, or we end up thinking that the material world calls to us in the form of the newest thing, the next phone, the best car, a pile of stuff, calling to us, but not really offering us anything. For our reading today, we have a story where God is calling. But the people present just don't get it, not right away. You might notice, if you were here for the last couple weeks, that we're out of the desert. We've fast-forwarded with the people of Israel to a time where they have the Ark of the Covenant, a box in which sit the tablets of the law and soil from the land. In this way, wherever the Ark went, God would be also. Gone also are some of the familiar faces and names, like Moses and his brother and man who spoke for him, Aaron. But they're not totally gone. There is a connection in this story in that priest that Andrew talked about, Eli. According to some scholars, he is a direct descendant to the line of Aaron, continuing that priestly line. Another big difference in this story from the weeks gone by is that where God spoke to Moses and Aaron and to the people as a guide, here we come to know that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Those are the words that Andrew read on the page. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. But it wasn't just rare. The stronger translation of that word rare is that the word was preciously so. It was preciously rare. So that when it came as a gift and a treasure. But Eli wasn't the best at seeing God at work in the situations around him. In an earlier story, before Samuel even enters the picture, we see his mother Hannah, Samuel's mother Hannah. She wanted a child so bad. So she went to the temple and she prayed on the steps of the temple, but she did so silently. Eli saw this. He was sitting on the doorstep, and he saw her on her knees on the steps of the temple. Her lips were moving, but no words were coming out, so he assumed that she was drunk and tried to chase her away. She remained firm in her distress until eventually Eli saw that perhaps God was speaking to him through this woman. And so he blessed her, saying, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition that you have made. Enter Samuel." Hannah bears a son,
And according to her prayer, she made sure that this was a faithful child who would join Eli in the temple. So we see, even in the beginning of the first book of Samuel, that Eli is a little slow on the uptake. And I mean this in the best way, because who among us hears the call of God and answers right away? In our reading today, we see Eli's ability to miss what God is doing. He continues with this all through the readings that we have from Samuel. He just misses the point, at least in the beginning. It might be easier to say that Samuel is the one who's missing the point. I mean, God's speaking to Samuel, right? But as far as we know, Samuel's just a boy, like 12 maybe. He's a trainee in the temple, if anything else. And so when he hears his name called, it must be his mentor. And he gets up, middle of the night, runs away. Runs to Eli. And even though he runs to Eli and he says, "You called me, right?" Eli wakes up and says, "No." This happens three more times. This happens three times in the reading where God calls to Samuel. Samuel goes to Eli and says, "You called me, right?" It takes those three attempts on God's part to get Eli's attention. And after that third time, he clues in and he helps Samuel to figure out what's going on. What happens next, though, is kind of a good news, bad news thing for Eli. The good news is that his servant Samuel is a true prophet. In the days where the word of the Lord was preciously rare, Samuel was a true prophet hearing the word of the Lord. It's a feather in Eli's cap, if nothing else. But then there's the bad news. Many would say that this is possibly disastrous news, because Eli hears from the word that Samuel relates that his line would be ending, that his sons, wicked and disrespectful of Eli and of God, would perish, and that none of his line would reach old age. Bad news. The baddest of news for a man whose priestly line reaches back to Aaron and ends with him. Now, to his credit, his response is a typically faithful one. Whether it's good news or bad, Eli responds with, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." That's how Eli reacts to that. The thing about being a prophet, as Samuel comes to be, and as Jeremiah comes to be, as Isaiah comes to be, any of them, is that the first message that you're called to deliver on God's behalf is rarely good news. It's actually never good news. What it often leads to, though, is a clean slate, a fresh start for a relationship between God and the people. Because it wasn't that God wasn't speaking to the people of Israel in Eli's time. It wasn't that God wasn't speaking. It's that the people had stopped listening. The people had stopped listening. We see this from the end of the reading. Because the people start listening. There is a flourishing of the spiritual lives of the Israelites in that Samuel's connection to God was so strong that people came from all around to hear the word of the Lord. But where is our connectedness to God today? Are we Eli? Are we slow to recognize the word and acts of God that are right before our eyes? Are we even resistant to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in, through, and around us to the point that we dismiss the inbreaking of the holy as a dream or indigestion? Do we push away the reaching hand of God in favor of going back to sleep? Or are we Samuel, easily woken from our self-induced slumber by the word of God, eager to walk the path that is laid out before us? Do we hear that word, opening ourselves, our hearts, to what God is calling us to? I think that most of the time, we're a little bit of both. Maybe we are eager to hear the voice of God calling to us, whether it shouts amid the noise of the world around us or is whispered to us in our sleep. But when that voice comes, it carries a truth that maybe we're not ready to hear. It presents a path that maybe we aren't ready to walk. When Samuel awoke those first three times, it was to immediately run to his mentor. So dedicated was he to the man Eli. He wasn't frustrated. He wasn't angry that he'd been woken not once but three times in the middle of the night. He simply got up, ran to his mentor, and said, "Here I am." This is a trust that we are called to have with the one who calls to us. A trust that whatever lies before us, whatever path we're being called to walk, it is one where we are watched over. It's hard to give ourselves over totally. It's like when we're kids, right? And one says to the other, "I want you to do something for me." "Well, sure, what?" No. You have to promise you'll do it before I tell you, or I won't tell you. Have you ever actually made that promise? "Sure, I'll do whatever you want. You don't have to tell me first. I promise. Whatever it's going to be, I'll do it." I've asked a few people to do that. Nobody's ever made that promise. And that's the relationship that we're called to have with God. To trust so completely that whatever God calls us to, wherever God calls us to walk, we'll go. Let's listen. Let's remove the coverings from our eyes and see the wondrous things that God is doing in this world. Let's take our fingers out of our ears and hear the part that God is calling us to play. "Speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening." Amen.